But working with Clint here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, hard as hell to say, easy to dial, baby. 281-222-2222. I want to remind everybody out there, as I do every day at 4 o'clock, make sure that you download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. The Odyssey app is it's clutch, y'all. Not only do we give away big time trips to Vegas for the basketball tournament with 20 grand attached to it, but you can also, right there on your phone, baby, you got access. You can use the rewind feature right now. I don't advise you to do it because we're talking about Dirty's Daily right here, but you could use the rewind app, the rewind feature in the Odyssey app, and go back and listen to Nick Caserio in total this morning with Payne and Pendergast, right? There's also all the podcasts that are available. They are available right there on the Odyssey app, and Tyler actually takes every segment from every show that we do, and he podcasts those, titles them and everything, so that you, the listener, can go back through there. And if you want to listen to just certain topics, you don't want to listen to all the bull jive, one topic you're looking for, boom, you can find it and listen to it. So Tyler does a hell of a job, spends a lot of time doing that.
Thanks,
right,
man.
There. Absolutely, bud. So the Odyssey app is clutch, A-U-D-A-C-Y. If you're out there and you're listening on the AM dial, the FM dial, YouTube, Twitch, we greatly appreciate it. Stay where you're at. Just download the Odyssey app and tell your friends about it. All right, y'all. It is training camp, Texans training camp. Day 7, I believe. Is that right, Tyler? Day 7, practice 6.
I got 6.
Day 7, practice 6.
Siete.
Yeah, they had one off day.
Right, yep. We're all on the same page.
And it's been a little up and down. It's been, as you would expect, the defense is well ahead of the offense. The offense is in the middle of an installation of a new offense, which is terminology and everything is completely new
to the stars.
And it's been a little bit of a struggle for the offense. There's a lot of youth on the offense. There's also been a three or four practice, run that was an acclimation period that was more of like a let's get everybody in shape, let's do some accelerated walkthrough stuff, we're not going to wear pads. One of those was actually a walkthrough, like a legit walkthrough. We're beyond that. I think practice 5 and 6 is something. They've had pads on, the physicality's been turned up, it's a real practice, they're going an hour and 45 minutes. It seems like they're working into a little bit more real NFL training camp situation here, y'all, and I'm telling you, something's not right with C.J. Stroud. Now, after D'Amico Ryan's spiel yesterday to the media about people trying to get, tell everybody what's wrong and diagnose injuries, I'm not trying to do that. I don't know what in the hell is wrong or not wrong with C.J. Stroud. Something's not right with C.J. Stroud. There's too many coincidences that are just one after another here to ignore them, in my opinion. You take it for what it's worth, but ignoring them is not an option for me, right? And I'm going to lay it out here for you, Ron.
I'm listening.
The quarterback rotation since they've started camp has been odd to me. It's never made sense. I've always just chalked it up to, hey, man, it's an acclimation period. It's a ramp-up period. It's that phase of camp. This is a new way of NFL training camp. Who am I to say that there's something wrong, right? But there's four quarterbacks getting reps, and they're split. From the beginning, they've been split up pretty evenly, and that's always been strange to me. I thought that would change at some point, and then you go to practice today, and it never stopped. It was always a true rotation of four quarterbacks, pretty even rotation of four quarterbacks, and today, there were two extended team periods and one 7-on-7 period, I believe. And I think Davis Mills got more reps than C.J. Stroud did, for those that were counting. I think C.J. Stroud would go, like he went 2 reps in 7-on-7, one of them which he threw a pick. And then, boom, he's out of practice and the next up in the rotation, right? The rotation has been strange. You got Graham Mertz and Keaton Slovic getting more or as many reps as C.J. Stroud, right? That's always been odd to me. Now that we're 7 days, 6 practices in, it's becoming more and more odd to me, right? You go back to practice number three, that was a walkthrough. CJ's throwing all the short passes, as many as he can, underhanded. Not a big deal by itself, but if you start kind of connecting these dots, it seems like there's a little something going on there that could be a little residual left over from the OTA arm-shoulder situation, right? And then I go to practice today, and I'm watching the quarterbacks during the special teams periods, and at one point, all the quarterbacks are throwing routes. They're throwing to spots, right? C.J. Stroud is sitting on his helmet. At one point, he's watching a little bit of film. Then he puts that down, and he comes over and kind of watches special teams practice. He's not throwing with the other quarterbacks, all right? And I don't know about y'all, but all I can do is I can tell you I've been to a lot of Texans practice, and if C.J. Stroud has an opportunity to throw the football, he throws the football. If C.J. Stroud has a chance to work any kind of rep or discuss any kind of action or any kind of scheme that's going on, he discusses it. He didn't do that in those moments today where the special teams was going on. Something's just a little bit off there. And here's what really, Ron, for me, that made me feel comfortable about this opinion. We're in the phase of camp, guys, where we're six practices in, two of which were full pads. Okay, we're in the phase of camp where C.J. Stroud should be getting more and more reps, and he damn sure should be getting more reps than Davis Mills. And as I said earlier, Davis Mills is getting as many, if not at times, more reps than C.J. Stroud, right? And I'll even go a step further, right? Because some people may not understand the phase of camp I'm talking about, right? Whether it's because the Texans are installing a new offense and C.J. Stroud needs those reps, or it's that they are installing a new offense and it's not running smooth, and out of frustration, C.J. Stroud says, hey, enough's enough. I'm demanding more reps. I need more reps with my guys. I got to get this thing figured out. The task has been laid at my feet to write this thing and get this offense moving. I need more reps to do it. In that moment, I watched Davis Mills get four reps to C.J. Stroud's two reps in a team period today. There's no Nick Caley wants this or that. D'Amico Ryans wants this or that. We want to look at this four-string quarterback. Nick Caserio wants this or that. There's no scenario where that makes sense other than something's going on with C.J. Stroud. I'm not telling you that it's the shoulder. I'm not saying that it's anything more than maybe a load management issue, but there's something going on that's keeping C.J. Stroud from going, nah, y'all back y'all's ass up. Davis Mills who? No, I got to get these offensive line. They jumped three or four times today, false starts, right? That's something C.J. Stroud grabs the bull by the horns and says, nah, we got to get this right, guys. But he's getting two reps and getting out, right? Just keep an eye on it. I'm warning you. I'm letting you know that there's something off about C.J. Stroud right now, and I can't put my finger on it.
Listen, I'm not going to say that what you just laid out isn't something that is normal, right? You have obviously lived it and been a quarterback in the league and kind of know how reps are usually distributed. And as somebody who has covered the league for over a decade and been at training camps and been at multiple training camps for multiple teams, that I think that is unusual. In the times of starters I've watched, from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes to Deshaun Watson to Tyrod Taylor to Davis Mills to now C.J. Stroud, they usually get more reps than that. And now I don't know what they're doing. I would imagine, as you said at the end, maybe it is load managing and just clearly – there was something with the shoulder that they wanted to stay away from during OTAs, and maybe this is just a continued process in that. But the thing that makes me feel like it's not really extremely alarming, Clint, is, and I've talked to you about this, and you can tell the people from what you see from your eyes, it does not appear that he's throwing the ball differently. It doesn't appear that he doesn't have the same zip on it. It doesn't appear like he is nursing an injury and he looks different, right? And it may just be the amount of the amount of throws they're trying to hold down. That's my only other thing. If it looked like he was throwing differently or something, I think that would be a little bit alarming. But I am just, I'm hopeful for CJ and the Texans and believing that maybe this is just a precaution to slow things down.
Yeah, look, Ron, Again, I can't put my finger on it. There's nothing that C.J. Stroud has done from a I'm in the game, I'm throwing the football right now. There's no holding the shoulder. There's no hold back. Now, we have strangely not seen C.J. Stroud, I don't think at all, throw the ball down the field. I would say the most stress I've seen put on his arm is when he scrambled and threw the what would have been or should have been a pick to Kalen Bullock. I think that was probably the most torque that I saw put on his arm. But we haven't seen him throw the ball down the field much at all, if any, at this point in time. I don't know if that's by design. I have no idea. Again, I can't put my finger on it. All I can tell you is what we're watching and what we've now watched for six practices is not normal.
I would agree with that.
I would be willing to bet you right now a house note that C.J. Stroud has taken fewer reps than any quarterback in the NFL. Any starting quarterback in the NFL that's healthy in camp, I'd be willing to bet you that C.J. Stroud has taken fewer snaps. When it comes to team periods, when it comes to 7-on-7s, when it comes – it's heavy run to begin with, which I get the emphasis on the run. But the number of overall reps and the number of balls that are thrown is extremely, extremely low. And I just can't believe at this point in camp that Keaton Slovic getting reps is anywhere remotely close to as important as C.J. Stroud getting reps in this new offense. So I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to start an uproar. I can't put my finger on it. There's nothing. C.J.'s ball's coming off his hand fine. But I'm telling you, there's something not right about seven right now.
One thing that I'm seeing across the text line, just could this be a thought of this is maybe the way that Nick Caley wants to get everybody similar reps, get how he wants to install the offense with these quarterbacks. Would that be something that could be explainable? This is just the way he does things?
No, not at all. I wouldn't think so. I mean, anything's possible. Anything is possible. But no, I would not think so. The only thing that would make sense to me right now is if they came out and said, hey, we're load managing, there's some soreness, and we're trying to manage it through camp as much as we can early on and not overdo it. That's the only thing. No advantage to, again, a four-string quarterback getting as many reps as your starting quarterback a week into training camp. I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know a lot about being a third and four-string quarterback in the league. There were camps where I'd go a week and throw five balls. I mean, these guys are whipping this thing around the park left and right just as much as CJ and just as much as Davis Mills. So it's I don't think there's any justifying it by Nick Caley wants to install this way. I'm telling you, it's unorthodox. I'm telling you, it's not normal. And a starting quarterback getting this few reps in team activities, 7-on-7 activities, you're not going to be able to convince me that there's not some level of method to the madness. There's not something going on there. So
in a brand new offense.
Yes, and that's the biggest part. In a brand new offense against a defense that's causing you fits, so it screws up your look half the time. It's not like you're going out there and getting great looks when you do go team. Hell, half of the reps are you're running for your life because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are so damn good. So yeah, man, I just encourage to keep your eye on it and see what how this thing unfolds as they get into the meat of camp, because you're fixing to get into the meat of camp where, I mean, hell, he should be getting 80% of the reps. I mean, your third and fourth string quarterback don't see the field unless it's scout team, right? I mean, that's what you're getting into. And so, and I'll be honest with you, Ron. I've noticed it multiple times, but the CJ, his actions during special teams periods have been different as well. Like, we talked about this earlier. I've watched a lot of C.J. Stroud since he's been a pro. C.J. Stroud is, if a ball is in the air anywhere, C.J. Stroud is in the middle of it throwing that sucker. Right? C.J.'s letting it rip. C.J.'s staying after getting extra work. C.J. is getting the throws in. That's a different approach right now with C.J. Stroud. And I can't help but that's not something a quarterback just decides, well, if it's year three, let me save my arm. Now, there's a reason behind that. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason behind that. We'll see down the road. Hopefully it's nothing. I'm hearing from a lot of people that listen talking about, damn, I hope you're wrong. Hey, I do too. I hope I'm dead ass wrong. But it seems like there's a little something going on there. We'll see.
Yeah, I do think if it was very, if it was anything threatening, I don't think he'd be out there or he'd be doing handoffs like he was doing in OTA.
Yeah, no, in no way, shape, or form do I think D'Amico, Nick, and the training staff is pushing him out there knowing that, hey, he's pushing the limit. I just think there's something. I think there's something not right, something off. I don't know what it is, but I think there's something there.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we'll keep seeing it, and maybe that's something a lot of people maybe will start to look for to see if it is an odd look on the reps he's getting, if they're potentially just maybe load managing, because the word is he did do a lot of throwing in the offseason. All right, coming up, the lineups are out as the Astros are looking to attempt to kind of get out of this funk as they're in a 5-game losing streak to losing teams. A couple of things from the GM that potentially should make you feel a little bit better about where the team is trying to go here coming up on the deadline. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, guess what tonight, fellas? It's Harry Potter night.
Yeah, it is.
Clint, you gonna get your ass out there, get you a little Harry Potter.
What house are you? I'm Ravenclaw.
Shut up, man.
No, I'm dead serious. You can go to a website and take a test. It takes like 5 minutes, and it tells you which of the four houses you're in. And no. I'm Ravenclaw because I'm clever and.
No, I'm good, man. You get you one of them.
I bet you're a Hufflepuff.
Is it Quidditch? Get you one of wear your your Quidditch shirt.
Yeah, man.
The only reason why I know about it is because I spent all that damn money on them damn stupid wands at when we went to Disneyland and them Quidditch jerseys and shirts or whatever.
As did I. But for myself.
Yeah. No, I didn't buy any for myself.
Playing that Quidditch, you got to watch out for them bludgers, man.
Yeah, nah, man. Harry Potter tonight. Harry Potter night at the Daikin. Clint, so.
Is that Lord of the Rings?
No, it's Harry Potter.
That's just your go-to, isn't it?
Yeah, now that y'all told me how stupid I was.
Lord of the Rings night would be tight.
I need to get my wife. We need to, since all this extra time that we have nowadays, and just watch that Harry Potter stuff.
You'd love it.
You would not. There is no chance.
One could say it's magical.
Now, again, unfairly, I don't know anything about it. So for me to say there's no chance, but I mean, judging what I walked around at that Disneyland, at that portion of Universal, and how people were into that. Nah, boss, I don't think that would be your bag. I'll just be honest with you. Well, you were waiting on that. They have
that son of a bitch John Williams gets me every time with these tracks.
They have little Jose Altuve with a hat on. In the photo for
they didn't have to
Harry
do him
Potter
like
night.
That. and wizards and Harry Potter don't even wear the hat like that besides like Dumbledore.
Okay.
That's more of a witch's hat. They did Tuve wrong with that.
I mean, you know all about it.
Like he's some sort of year two out there at Hogwarts. Like, this is the GOAT.
Lineup here tonight. Taylor
perfect
Trammell.
Music for it.
Taylor Trammell in left field. Jose Altuve, as pitcher, is the DH tonight.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Christian Walker is at first base. Cam Smith back in the lineup in the cleanup spot. Jacob Melton gets another crack in the five spot. Yiner Diaz, of course. Mauricio Dubon is at third base tonight. Guys, you asked for it. Shea Whitcomb, he's going to play second tonight.
Okay. Expecto Patronum.
Okay, that, all right. That's interesting.
That's a spell.
Zach Short. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the second base.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I thought we may just let Bryce ride it out. But Zach Short, sorry, folks that want Zach out of there, he is the shortstop and bat ninth, and Jason Alexander. So how many we got tonight?
It don't matter who in the hell gets hurt. They going to play musical chairs with this defense, ain't they?
Not Zach Short.
They're going to need some magic with this lineup.
I mean, the whole thing, Dubon should be the – like, don't get me started on this. Like, I don't. I mean, right now, all of a sudden, Shea Whitcomb can come to the Major League Baseball level and just play whatever position he wants to play, huh?
Whatever. After those four errors he committed in one game at third base in six innings.
Would like to make those disappear, right?
Taylor Trammell, that's one who started in Sugar Land. Jacob Melton, that's two. Shea, Zach, Jason Alexander is the starter. So,
Altuve is a Gryffindor.
Five of the 10, including the starter, are Sugarlanders. Or Sugarlanders.
But they're all wizards.
That's what you call half-cocked, folks.
There it is. Half-cocked. But, Clint, they need some help. The Astros, now, that leads down to three games, Clint. I don't know why. Maybe it's stupid. I'm sure someone on the text line will tell me, or YouTube and Twitch. That three feels a lot different now than the four. I don't know why. I know it's just one game, but all of a sudden, the three game lead now over the Mariners, as they win last night and the Astros lose their fifth straight, feels like this thing got real tight here and they seem like they are really fighting for their lives, and the Mariners, who it feels like it was seven not too long ago, are now back to three like they were going into the final game of that series to start the second half. It just feels a lot tighter right now.
Well, yeah, they're a lot tighter because, I mean, you just said they lost five in a row. I mean, let's go ahead and add a little context there to the A's and the Nationals. Like, this isn't – you didn't roll in there and the Dodgers get you four or whoever the best teams in baseball are right now. I mean, whoever it may be, You lost to two teams. I mean, you lost five straight to two teams that you had no business losing one to, if we're being completely honest. I think that's fair. It's a lot worse when you add context to it, man. They couldn't give a ton of support to Fromber last night. Let's see if they can give it to old buddy tonight.
Yeah, old buddy being Jason Alexander tonight. But, Clint, the GM, Dana Brown, said, or at least alludes to feeling like help's going to be on the way. And not just the help that we've been talking about, the injured guys, that we'll see what happens. But as he talked on the broadcast last night, on the telecast last night, we feel like we're going to get something done, General Manager Dana Brown said. And he said adding a bat is a priority, but a starter or a reliever would be as well. He also spoke to Jim Bouton, a former GM, and he said that a left-handed hitter and a Game 3 starter for the playoffs are the two top things he's looking at. Ryan O'Hearn, Brandon Lowe, or Lau, or a couple of names that they've talked about that are out there. But it seems that, much like he did last year, Dana Brown is going to add to this team to give them help, and they absolutely need it, right? And because you just cannot depend on knowing if you're going to have those guys that are injured back for the stretch run. You can't depend on that, and they've got to make a Kikuchi-like move. I know we have fun saying that name, but I didn't even say that one with laughter. I mean it. They've got to make that level of move to their starting rotation. And they probably do need a bat, even if everybody came back.
Well, the Astros have stolen that joy from us, right? These injuries have stolen that Kikuchi joy from us. We can't even have fun with it anymore. We're dead ass serious. Like the, at the end of the day, what I guess feel good about here, Ron, is Dana Brown's transparency, if you will. He had no problems whatsoever saying, we're working, man. We're working. We're busy as ever right now trying to get this and that and this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're not playing coy. I mean, he is definitely out there flipping stones trying to see what's available for the Astros. So if you can take any level of confidence, I guess, from this, it's Dana Brown's transparency and appear his kind of approach here is go get better.
Yeah, they got to. So trade deadline, remember, is Thursday. So we are coming up on that. Teams are making some moves, and there are some moves out there. And clearly, Dana Brown has expressed he's on the phones trying to get this done. As they got to try to get out of this hole. Coming up again, the lineup tonight: Tremel in left field, Altuve is at DH tonight. Christian Walker at first. Cam Smith, Jacob Meltenbeck in center. Yiner behind the plate again. Dubon is at third base tonight, with Shea Whitcomb getting a start at second. And then there's Zach Short at shortstop, has continued to pick up that spot in the injury of Jeremy Pena. By the way, Jeremy Pena is supposed to make a rehab start at Sugar Land tonight, along with Sean Dubin. He is going to pitch as well, so... Hopefully, man, this is just a one and out, and Jeremy Pena can get up here as soon as possible. All right, Nico Collins, he spoke on his new OC, led me to some questions, and we'll look at how the O-line was today. They've had some struggles at the beginning of camp. We'll talk about what happened today. That's next.
Nico has got them on fire, babies.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You're going to stop disrespecting Kirk Cousins.
Stop it.
You can tell that you have just started the new quarterback series.
Yes, last
can tell
night.
That. Leave Kurt's ass alone, man.
I love Kurt, but
no,
man,
you don't, man. You just want to make fun. You want to make win of Kurt. Kurt is fun, man. I like Kurt and his family. I like Kurt and his family.
Yeah, I bet that's how he would describe himself too. I'm a fun guy. Want to listen to some Celine Dion? Maybe spin the ball around the park a little bit.
But hey,
I love Celine Dion. I can't even lie.
Did you see what they did to her at that Coldplay concert? They were doing the Kiss Cam stuff again. They got to Celine Dion, and they just nobody. Oh, the whole crowd wouldn't stop clapping for her. Brought her to tears.
Well, their hearts were going on, man.
They were, man. By the way, if you do watch that quarterback thing, I've heard of makeup sex. Anger sex. This was some real sympathy sex happening in the Kurt.
I haven't come to a sex scene yet.
It didn't happen. They didn't show it, but I'm certain it occurred. I know Clint watched it. When Kirk Cousins has to give up the starting quarterback job.
God, Atlanta did him dirty.
No, they didn't. But you can tell
by drafting Penix, I think.
The things he did with his wife. There was some sympathy action that happened later on that evening.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I know Clint has seen that.
I've seen it, and I just there's no at no point in the Cousins family did I think that there was any did I have any notions of any sex?
Oh man, when she found out that he reached out and was in the garage talking to Michael Penix Jr. to really uplift him. And she went into that. That's the kind of man he is. And she started crying. Yeah.
I have not got there yet. I hadn't got to that point yet.
That done it for her. That was it. They put those kids to bed.
I just like Kirko swag surfing, man.
He goes swag surfing and runs routes with his kids down in the basement. That's
I like that too.
That's the other part of it. But man, leave Kirk alone, man. He's had a rough go of it.
But nerd alert.
All right, Nico Collins. Nico Collins was on with Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show and kind of opened things up. He talked to him about Nick Caley, and he said something that once you hear it, you will know you have heard this a lot. But I want to get We got Clint Sterner on the show, so that is a great resource to us to have as somebody who has been through the NFL, has been on the field of the NFL, who has dealt with OCs and dealt with different kind of coaches, because I want to get to the bottom of this thing we continue to hear. Here's Nico Collins, and they're talking about his new OC.
Yeah, man, Nick Caley, man, he's a young, fiery coach, man. It's exciting, man, just the way he just come every, in the building every day in meetings, man. You know, you feel that energy, you feel his enthusiasm, man, as he, you know, break it down and install, you know. So I'm excited about this year, man, about this group. You know, it's going to be a great year.
What about schematically that you're willing to share that's different?
I feel like, you know, it's pretty much the same, you know. Pretty much getting the players in, you know, a great situation to make plays. You know, Nate, he's doing a great job, you know, is making the play calls, you know, simple, you know, easy for us to understand, you know. So we go out there, just have fun, you know, make plays, you know, and get the crowd on their feet, you know. So that's all we want to do as an offense, you know, go out there, make plays and be explosive. You know, that's who we are.
That's Nico Collins. Clearly was not ready for that follow-up from Rich Eisen. I'm not going to lie to you.
Because it ain't stop there.
Stop shaking your head.
Man, I ain't gonna Bobby lie to you, got Clint. Fired for nothing.
Because I do want to ask you this, and it's a truthful thing, but I'm not going to lie to you. Remember that time we had Mark Ingram on? And I said, Mark, you have been around David Culley, and you had him in Baltimore.
Football playing Jesse.
I said, what's his, like, coaching superpower? That answer that Nico just gave on that follow-up was eerily similar to where he was, to where Mark Ingram was just trying to reach. And then that's when Tyler accused me of pissing off Mark Ingram.
With that
very fair question. But the first part, he said, was the energy and the fiery part of that. Like, I in my mind, I could think and see, like, you know, the advantages of that. But we keep hearing that repeatedly. And from a positive perspective, Clint, why is that such a thing that we're hearing so much? And how can that positively affect this team and the offense? Because if there's nothing else, Clint, the number one thing we hear about Nick Caley is the energy that he brings every day and the fiery personality of him. How can that be such a help to this offense?
Well, I mean, you can sell during the offseason and during training camp that the energy is important and the vibe is important and the delivery is important. And I think to a certain degree, as you're installing a new offense, it is important to walk in being positive every day and having that energy and that vibe and keeping guys' attention. But if you can't coach and if your offense sucks and you can't call plays, all of that is for none. And the reality is this. The reason that everybody keeps leaning into the energy and the vibes and the passion and all that is because nobody wants to say, hey, man, he ain't never done it. We have no idea. That's it. It's that simple. It's for whatever reason.
Yeah, but they don't do that with Cole Popovich, though, Clint. Like, I mean,
Cole's a position coach. You don't like, yeah. you don't really have that to pull from with Nick Caley, right? I mean, Caley's not, you know, we've heard a little bit on the Caley front from the tight ends. No surprise, because that's a position that he coached, about how he'll stop practice and say, hey, man, your hand placement here, this, get in this stance. If you got a run block, get in this stance. If you got to do this or that, like that, that's just like, when I look at Cole Popovich, his number one job is to make sure that his guys are physical and tough, know their assignment, and can execute their assignment without thinking, right? Just know it like the back of their hand, let's ride. Like Nick Caley has to be able to call a play. Nobody's seen him call a play. Nick Caley has to be a guy that goes, hey, Christian Kirk, we got you matched up on their nickel. It's a big time mismatch for us. Well, now I've got to call plays and scheme up the way to take advantage of that. Hell, I can go out there and tell you it's a mismatch. I knew when Christian Kirk was in Jacksonville, when he brought his ass to Houston, that in the damn slot, it was a mismatch against, what's his name? What was the kid's name, number four?
Tavier
Thomas. Hell, I knew that was a mismatch. I didn't have the play to tell you to go take advantage of it. Their offensive coordinator damn sure did, right? Like, there's like, for whatever reason, there's a need to blow smoke and talk about how great these guys are and sell these guys on how great they are and how great of a position coach they are and the energy and all this, instead of just, hey guys, we got a lot of confidence in Nick Caley's ability to get this done. Truth of the matter is, he's never done it. We're going to learn about Nick Caley on Sunday, just like you're going to learn about on Nick Caley on Sunday. And that's the reality of the situation. Boy, doubling down right there. Who was that was interviewing him? Rich Eisen?
Yeah,
Rich Eisen doubling. Well, Rich Eisen doubling down on what he thought was – he thought he was lobbing him a softball up there, just a little soft toss, and he's talking about scheme. Boy, that really threw Nico for a loop right there. Well, I mean, I guess it's the same.
I was going to say it's not the same.
We've been told by everybody and anybody under the sun that it ain't the same.
Yeah.
That it's different, you know, and here we are now, Nico, the number one guy, talking about it's the same. The reality of it is it's an offense that the schemes, the route concepts, the run principles, they're all the same. Everybody been playing football. Every offense is the same stuff. What it boils down to is, Can you coach it up? Can you coach the terminology and get these guys to learn it? Right? The listen, retain, and apply. Right? Can you get professionals to listen, retain, and apply what you want them to do? And then when you play on Sunday, do you have the ability to call plays at the right time, take advantage of weaknesses, make sure you're playing to your player's strengths? And we will not know that until Nick Caley does it on Sunday in a regular season game.
Yeah. No, that is the case. But I just overall, to me, it was just like we are hearing the energy and fieriness like that so much. So, like, I mean, clearly, for them, I guess there is a thought that's the only thing they're coming up with because they don't know the other stuff. But or it could be a thought of like, no, man, that is a significant thing that is helpful for the players and something that they love about Nick Caley, that each time from coaches to other players, it is the number one thing that comes to mind for them.
Yeah, you know, the thing is you can tell what has been said to them over and over again about how important the energy and the vibes are, right? But the reality of it is, and I don't know how good Nico actually is in an interview setting of relaying, you know, like being put on the spot, if you will. I don't know how comfortable he is in that situation. I don't know how gifted he is in that situation. It doesn't sound like he's real comfortable. Be honest with you, when I hear Nico, it sounds like he can't get the damn thing. He's fine with being there, but he can't get that damn answer over quick enough. But the reality of it is the inability for folks to answer that question of hey, you know, the way that he calls plays is going to allow us to play faster. I think I've heard D'Amico, you know, lean that direction. I think that's a really, really good answer, right? The physicality and accountability and up front with the offensive line toughness is a Nick Caley plus, right? Really focusing on the importance of communication and everybody being on the same page is going to allow us to play fast. Like, these are all pluses, but it's just like, for whatever reason, nobody's really gone into depth in talking about those. I feel like I could, if you gave me till tomorrow, I could probably put together a packaged answer that should be passed on to every offensive player with the Texans and would be, do a better job than how they're answering.
And maybe what finish with the energy. Energy.
At this point, I would leave it out because I think that's the one thing everybody knows about Nick Caley that would be repetitive is everybody knows he's got good energy, good juice, and he brings it to the table.
Good juice, yeah, energy.
I feel bad, Ron, because I do. I believe in order to be a good coach, you've got to bring a certain level of energy to the meeting room or the practice field every single day, or you're gonna get lazy, unresponsive, lackadaisical. Like that's the interaction that you demand when you come in that way. So coming in with juice and having energy is absolutely hugely important, right? But yeah, it's just like we've been beat over the head with it so long. It's like, okay, I get it. I mean, everybody gets it. But it's minimized, I think, in the media and in the outside world. But the reality is, man, if you get a coach that brings that passion every day and brings the energy every day, then that's typically what they give back to you. And yeah, so it is important. I don't want to minimize that at all.
A little 5 o'clock fire will get you ready for the Astros and the Nationals, but There is some news, some trade deadline news to tell you about involving the Astros. We will do that coming up next.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.